Please stand as you're able to do so. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? You gotta look that way.
We have been buried with Christ by baptism into his death.
Therefore, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too walk in newness of life. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God for the gift of baptism. Now you can turn back this way. Wow. First it's standing up and sitting down. Now it's turning around side to side. It's a workout come to church. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water who gave us birth, our light, and our salvation. Amen. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for this, the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning the Spirit moved over these waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood, you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea, you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river, your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word, you claimed us as daughters and sons, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life, and above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
We have become stranger to our friends and families. We have been thrown out of our mother's houses.
It is because we love you that those who insult you now insult us.
We humble ourselves with fasting, and still our enemies call us names.
Answer us, Lord. We know your steadfast love is good. Look upon us with mercy and steadfast love.
Do not hide your face from us. We are in pain. Answer us quickly.
Draw near to us. Save us and reconcile us with our families, our enemies, and our oppressors.
Amen.
You may be seated for the reading.
Our first reading is from Jeremiah, the 20th chapter. O Lord, you have enticed me, and I was enticed. You have overpowered me, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all day long. Everyone mocks me, for whenever I speak, I must cry out. I must shout violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and a desertion all day long. If I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his names, then within me there is something like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. For I hear many whispering, terror is all around. Denounce him. Let us denounce him. All my close friends are watching for me to stumble. Perhaps he can be enticed, and we can prevail against him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a dread warrior. Therefore, my prosecutors will stumble, and they will not prevail. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, you test the righteous. You see the heart and the mind. Let me see your retribution upon them. For to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord. For he has delivered the life of the needy from the hands of the evildoers. The word of the Lord. Our second reading comes to us from Paul's letter to the Romans. What then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed, and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have but if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives for God. So that you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
This is the gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter. A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is not enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, or the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of the household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, I tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Did I see you back there, like, trying to count the hairs on your head? It's easier for him. And me. I mean, let's be honest. And this guy. So, all right. If you're a kid and you like playing with balloons, come on up here. We'll give you some. You don't like playing with balloons? You can sit back there and blow up a balloon. That's fine, but I'm going to need it back. So we're going to have fun with balloons today. Here, I might need you to blow up a couple balloons for me. You want a balloon? Sure. He's like, I don't have any idea what is wrong with this guy. He's like, what is wrong with this guy? Here. You can't see me, can you? That's okay. Well. There you go. I don't need them just yet. So, I'm going to, you can sit down. You can sit down, but I'm going to need your balloons back. This is very important. So, I remember the first time I told Andrea that I was being called to be a pastor. He's confused. He's like, where do I go? You can come sit up here if you'd like. Or you can sit with your grandma and I'll come back and get the balloon. I'm flexible. Let me start over. I remember the first time I told Andrea I was being called to be a pastor. We were in the car and we had started reminiscing about careers and choices we'd made along the way. You see, when I had left high school, I planned to become an aerospace engineer. I wanted to send people to space. But soon I learned that mechanical engineering and aerospace engineering, they're very similar. They're only five classes different in college. So, from a practical standpoint, I figured there were many more mechanical engineering jobs in Ohio than there were aerospace jobs. So if I ever wanted to live in Ohio, why not get a mechanical engineering bachelor's degree, and then I would get a master's degree in aerospace engineering. So that became the plan. But then life happened. That happened. Eventually. I graduated with that mechanical engineering degree, and I took a job at GE Lighting in Cleveland because Andrea was in school at the University of Akron, and we wanted to be relatively close to one another. And while she was finishing school, even better, I got GE Lighting to pay for my master's degree. But there's a problem. There's a problem with that. I don't know. They're being good back there. Anyway. But there was a problem. There was a problem with this. Light bulbs aren't supposed to fly. So GE Lighting said, I will pay for your master's degree, but it's got to be a mechanical engineering master's degree. So, free master's is a free master's. You know how I like free school. I took that free degree. So, we got married. GE Lighting, as most of you know, had a factory in Bucyrus. We moved there to be closer to our families. They had some great projects going on. And we became very involved in our careers. We had kids who can't keep the balloons closed. We were happy with most of our choices to get us to that point in our lives. I'm kidding, Ben. But on this day, we were considering the what if kind of questions in life. What if you got an aerospace degree, Andrea asked. What if you went to work for NASA like some of your college friends did? Do you know where this is going? She's nervous. You should be. And I thought about these questions for a few minutes, and in my head I was thinking, should I say it? No, I just wasn't ready to say it out loud. I wasn't even sure if I believed the ridiculous thoughts that were going on in my head. But suddenly, it just came out. I don't know why. I just blurted out, I don't think it matters because I think I'm supposed to be a pastor. And it's just like there was this fire in my bones burning, that was building and building and building, and that fire just couldn't be contained until that came out. And the rest is history, as they say, right? Well, not exactly. Andrea just as quickly blurted out, I didn't marry a pastor. I don't want to be a pastor's wife. And that is where that conversation ended for roughly 2 months. We didn't talk for the rest of the way home, and we definitely didn't talk about that. She's like, thank you for that. This is a really difficult gospel today, isn't it? For I have come to set a man against his father, a woman against her mother, and not that this would ever happen, but a mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law? Never, right? Jesus probably should have added, and a husband against his wife. Yeah? These verses go against all our Christian instincts. What about honoring your father and mother? But I think we have to be very careful here, because I don't think Jesus is saying to us that we must actively seek division. But he is calling us to take up our cross and follow him. And he's letting us know that this message of justice and mercy, a message of going and doing justice and mercy, will not be easy. It will cause divisions, and sometimes it might cause division even within families. Even, and sometimes a perfectly good marriage, right, Andrea? The prophet Jeremiah, as Kevin read for us today, knew something about causing divisions. From our first reading, we hear him cry out, Lord, I've become a laughingstock. Everyone mocks me. The word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. You see, Jeremiah had been given an impossible task. We didn't hear about that task today, but he had been given an impossible task. He was to prophesy against his own people, the people of Judah. He was to go out and tell the people of Judah that they were going to be exiled. They were going to be kicked out of the promised land, right? They were going to be kicked out of that promised land, and they were going to go to Babylon. The evil, hated Babylonians were going to send them away into what is now known as the Babylonian captivity. So how do you think they took this message? Well, the words that we heard from Jeremiah today were spoken after he was taken into custody by one of Judah's priests. He was beaten and placed in the stocks at the city gates to embarrass him, to shut him up, which he did for a little bit. Jeremiah declares to us, I will not mention the Lord or speak any more in his name. That's it. Jeremiah says he's done. He's done being a prophet. And I'm thinking that most of us would have responded in the same way. No more division or strife. We can go back to living a happy, stress-free life. But Jeremiah tells us that if we don't proclaim the word of God when we feel called to do so, that there's a problem. You see, when Jeremiah resists proclaiming the word of God, this happens. Within me there is something like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in, and I can no longer do so. You see, Jeremiah tries to hold it in. He tries not to proclaim the words that God has given him to go out and tell the people, but he finds that there is an unquenchable fire deep in his bones, and he's trying to hold it in, and he's failing, and it's tearing him up inside. And if he doesn't go out and proclaim the word of God, then sorry. Everybody awake? Then he's going to burst. Told you I'd need more balloons. We are called to proclaim the good news, right, of Jesus? And when we feel this call, when it's burning inside us, but we suppress it because we're afraid of what people might think, when we're afraid of what our loved ones might think, maybe it's our spouse, maybe it's our kids, maybe it's our parents, when we're afraid that they might think of what they might think if we answer that call, whether that call is to pastoral ministry like my call is, or the million other vocations that Christians around the world are called to, that you are called to, when we don't answer that call, when we as Christians don't answer the call to protect the poor, to speak up for the marginalized and the oppressed, when we don't proclaim the good news that Jesus set the captives free, when we're afraid of protecting the neglected and the abused because it might cause division, of course it's going to cause division. Well, when we flat out ignore the call, well, that fire that Jeremiah felt, guess what? It builds and builds and builds and builds in us until, sorry. It's an uncontrolled explosion. It's an explosion that not only destroys us, but those around us. And as I hope I've loudly and destructively demonstrated, we have no choice but to follow that call to follow Jesus. But how we answer this call, it matters, doesn't it? It certainly matters. It doesn't matter whether your call is to be a pastor. It doesn't matter whether your call is to be a special ed director that does, in fact, support her husband in his call to pastoral ministry. It doesn't matter whether that call is to be a space engineer or a light bulb engineer or a law director or a small business owner or a teacher or a student, a retiree, an assembly line worker, or a truck driver, or a mechanic, or an electrician, or a barber, or a retired barber, or a stylist, or a carpenter, or a nurse, whether we work in retail, it's occupational. I couldn't think of the word occupational. Occupational therapist, or whatever vocation that any of you all work in. How we answer this call in those occupations, in those vocations, matters. And from today's gospel, Jesus says, whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. And I've always really struggled with this. What does it mean to take up one's cross? Does it mean that we're supposed to intentionally take on suffering? I hope not. I hope God doesn't want us to go out and seek suffering. But this week it finally made sense to me when I was preparing my Thursday pondering, when I came across this quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who knew a little something about suffering. He calls this costly grace. He says, grace is costly because it compels a person to submit to the yoke of Christ and follow him. Said another way, grace costs us everything because grace is found in taking everything else that we have, setting it down, and picking up our cross. And that's how we follow Jesus. Grace is found, in fact, in yoking ourselves to Christ. I need that balloon. I'm not going to pop it, at least on purpose. But what if we try to follow Christ without taking up the cross? What if we try to not follow? You know, we're going to follow Jesus, but that cross thing sounds hard. Well, this is what Bonhoeffer calls cheap grace. Grace without the cross is grace that we bestow on ourselves. And do you know what it sounds like? Do you know what it sounds like when we proclaim Jesus without the message of the cross? Anybody know? Oh, that's not as good as I thought it would be. There we go. That is the sound of cheap grace right there. Now, do I have any balloons that aren't tied? Those are tied, aren't they? Are yours tied? Oh, no. Keep your balloons. It's a present to you. Keep blowing it up. Blow it up as full as you can, but don't pop it. So, when we take up our cross, I skipped ahead. Do you know what it looks like when we try to follow Jesus by doing it our own way without taking up our cross, without yoking ourselves to Jesus Christ? Do you know what that looks like? Anybody know what that looks like? You think I can control where this balloon goes?
No.
Let's say I want this balloon to go to that cross. Do you think I can make it go there?
No.
Go. Oh, it's going to get popped in a candle. No. It will only be by accident if it ends up there at the cross of Christ. But, get that nice and big for me. Can someone tell me what this is?
A cross.
Okay, this is, to be a little more specific, this is a little baby popsicle stick cross. All right? This is a cross. But when we take up our cross, when we take up our cross and try to follow Jesus, I need you to hold that for me. And when we yoke ourselves to that cross. Now, how do you yoke yourself to a cross if you are a balloon and your cross is made out of popsicle sticks?
Duct tape.
Duct tape. Not just any duct tape. Orange duct tape. So, we're going to yoke ourselves to this cross. We are going to yoke ourselves to this cross. All right, good and yoked. Oh, wait, hold on. Let me see it. We are good and yoked. Oh, look at that. Come on, go all the way. No, go! Go! All right, I think you get the point. I think you get the point. For the radio, or for anyone listening, it made it all the way there. So, you see, it's not a squealing sound when we yoke ourselves to Christ. It's not an explosion. It is not just wildly flying everywhere without any mooring or direction, without guidance or purpose or bearing. No, we end up almost exactly where we're supposed to be, at that cross, the cross of Christ. So Jesus says, take up that cross and follow me. Yoke yourself to me, Jesus said. And if you think that sounds costly, you're right. Proclaiming God's good news is not easy. Jesus tells us this today in the Gospel of Matthew. It will cause strife. It will cause that division. Ask Jeremiah about this. Ask the me of 5 years ago who mistakenly blurted out, "I think I'm called to be a pastor." But more importantly, ask yourself. Ask yourself, because I bet you felt this. I bet you have your own story waiting to be shared about taking up the cross. I'm sure of it. So go. Tell that story to people. It's important. You see, grace must be costly. Otherwise, it would be cheap. It sounds simple, but it's so true. Bonhoeffer, though, he says it way better than I ever could. He says, grace is costly because it compels us to submit to the yoke of Christ and follow him. You've already heard that part. That's the costly part. But here is the grace part. It is grace because Jesus says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." That is God's grace. And how could we not leave this place and go tell the entire community of Galleon, tell the entire world that good news? For that I say, thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you. ask you to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Trusting in God's abundant mercy, let us offer our prayers for a world in need.
You entice your church to speak truth that challenges false notions of peace. Prevail upon us with the good news of Christ's death and resurrection, that we are compelled to share the gospel with all the world. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Under your watch, not even a sparrow goes unnoticed. Safeguard plant and animal habitats threatened by melting glaciers, rising oceans, and receding coastlines. Amplify the voices of those calling for responsible stewardship of the Earth's resources. God, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Our world is enduring violence and destruction. Rescue your people and nations experience conflict or crisis, especially Ukraine and Russia, the Democratic Republic of Congo, insurgencies in the Sahel, gang violence in Haiti, and gun violence in the United States. Thwart the efforts of those who sow chaos and terror, and guide those working to bring about peace and reconciliation. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Even when we experience rejection, your love invites us to new life. Lift up anyone who feels shunned and excluded on account of their gender, race, sexual orientation, gender identity, national origin, or any other human distinction. Make your people one. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. You have counted even the hairs of our heads. Reassure anyone experience poverty, homelessness, unemployment, or exploitation that every life has value. Look favorably upon all who struggle. Heal those who are sick, especially Linda, Sue, Marcella, Karen, Sandy, Jamie, Deb, Frida, Kate, Bill, Katie, Linda, Patty, Tim, Ed, Wilma, and those we name either aloud or in silence of our hearts. Answer us, for your steadfast love is good. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. And now we ask, O God, that you receive our prayers and answer us. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. We now continue with our gifts and our offerings.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of field and forest, sea and sky, you are the giver of all good things. Sustain us with these gifts of your creation, and multiply your graciousness in us, that the world may be fed with your love through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, and with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, we ask that you remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the table, taste and see that our Lord is good.
This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you.
Thank you.
Please stand as you're able. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in God's grace. Amen.
Let us pray. We thank you, generous God, for the refreshment we have received at your banquet table. Send us now to spread your generosity into the world through the one who is our dearest treasure, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen.
Now you may be seated. Got to figure something out there. That's just... All right, a few announcements this morning. So, your consolidation task force is Mike, Dennis, and I will be there to guide, walk alongside, whatever, but they are first representatives for the task force. So they and I would like to hear from you. So last week in our bulletin, you got an update, and that had some questions on it, 5 questions. And we ask that you continue to prayerfully consider those questions and how you would respond. And this is the very important part. There is a sign-up sheet, 2, in fact, on the table that we recently added to this side of the door, and it has 10 time slots. Over the next few weeks, and we ask that you please sign up for one of those. I don't care whether you're a member. I don't care whether you're not a member. I don't care whether, you know, you're 6. I don't care whether you're 12, 11. It doesn't matter. I want to hear from you. They want to hear from you. Your voice is very important in this process. So please sign up for those. There are 5 people per sign-up slot, so please do that. Please. Otherwise, we will hunt you down individually. All right. We will be doing our noisy offering today for capital improvements, but there is a change to how we are going to be doing our noisy offering in the future. So the mission and evangelism team will be suggesting some... allocations for the noisy offering. So starting next Sunday, July 2nd, July already, the noisy offering will be starting to rotate on a monthly basis as suggested by Mission and Evangelism, as approved by Council, and the first month that money will go to Vacation Bible School and to cover any funds there. August, we don't know yet. July, Vacation Bible School. Today, still capital improvements. So please continue to support this. I think this is going to be a great way to get some funds out into our mission programs. So also, I saw it when I walked in this morning, Mission and Evangelism is putting on a rummage sale to support our mission and outreach programs also. It's going to take place in October. I know that seems like a long time from now, but I want to make sure you have plenty of time to round up all the junk that you have in your house. And then you will bring it here, you will put it in our basement, and then we are going to sell it, and that money is going to come back to our mission and outreach programs to benefit the community. So if you don't want it, we want it. But we don't want your clothes or your electronics. Keep those, and your tires. Keep your used tires. So, anyway, any other announcements this morning? Hearing and seeing none, I think it's time for a blessing. Please stand as you're able to do so. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Thank you.
There is a fire within you that burns for Christ. So go in peace. Proclaim the good news.